Tuesday class, 22nd January 2019. So we now get ready for puja. Prepare your mind, compose your mind, develop the faith, saddha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Siin Pusa. Namo Guan Siin Pusa. Namo Guan Siin Pusa. Namo Ami To Fo. Namo Ami To Fo. Namo Ami To Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated, then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa. We have to start the refuge. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana ramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarappa dithena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bacana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami monindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena mattena ca hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we are chant the puja aspiration based on the understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nirvana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transferring of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajam. Buddhang Pajami. Dhammang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of meditation. You just relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture. Then silence your mind and maintain awareness within. If your spiritual faculties are there, you will settle down into the meditative state very fast. But for some, if you are still new, if your meditative spiritual faculties are not developed, then you may have to train your mind first. You can do either the mind sweeping method combined with metta to decondition your heedless thinking and develop the initial peace or inner calmness and awareness, then stabilize it with anapanasati. Then if you are familiar with other methods or technique that can anchor your mindfulness, you can use it too. The key to meditation is to train your mind in sati first, then stabilize it. After that, use it to meditate. So either way, when you understand, your meditation will take off and you will progress. Okay, I will set the alarm, and when the 30 minutes is up, I will ring the bell. So now I'll let you meditate on your own.
Thank you.
those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who are not, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Yeah. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed, yeah, for as long as you can. Hmm. Then you need to stabilize this mind state, yeah, and carry them into your daily life so that you can develop the cultivation of the daily mindfulness, which is the real meditation. After you have developed the ability to be mindful throughout the day, then only you can have sense restraint. Otherwise, you are not able to do it. The daily mindfulness needs to be very stable. The stability of it will enable you to understand many things. The initial wisdom will come. So according to Avijja Sutta, it's very clear. First, the Buddha say, you must have Dhamma friends to create condition for you to listen to the Dhamma. After you listen to the Dhamma, you have the condition to reflect and contemplate. Then if you stand up to investigation, your faith will be enhanced. So that's how the faith in the Triple Gem is very important. Then you straighten your views, develop the first and second turning wisdom, accumulating to Yoniso Manasikara, which is the initial wisdom. After you have the initial wisdom, then your mind will be more or less peaceful, calm. You got less sankara. That's how your daily mindfulness stabilized. Then after that, you can develop the sati sampajana. Sati sampajana means not only you are mindful, you also have clear comprehension, the four type of clear comprehension. Then after that, you will be able to see your defilement very clearly because of your stability of mindfulness. Then you will understand the essential Dhamma, especially the law of dependent origination. Then after that, you will be able to have sense restraint. Your precept become automatic. Then with the sense restraint, you can arise the three type of good conduct, right speech, right action, and right thought. Only after you have developed this, can you really cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. Before that, no point, because if you try to do it, you will not benefit much. Most people do not understand this. So the four foundation of mindfulness, the initial wisdom, is very important. After that, the sense restraint will come. The three way of right conduct will come. Then when you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, it becomes very easy. Because your mindfulness is very stable. Then you understand what the Buddha is trying to tell you very clearly. Then during that time, the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising. Then you know you are on the right path. Then you are destined for enlightenment. That's how the enlightenment or the realization can happen. So what you all need is stability of daily mindfulness. Okay, turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Okay, now we will chant the Pali. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijjacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhammasarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Panayiko Pachyatang Veditabhu Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Yayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atha Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakkasangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anutarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Okay, let us pay respect to Rupaja. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Then today, we will continue with our next chapter, chapter 25. The title is Paticca Samuppada, Dependent Origination. But before we start this, I remember Kok Lun told me last week, he asked me to remind him that he will share something. He has something to share regarding last chapter, I think. Okay, yeah. Kok Lun, yes.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
On last week's sharing was on the rebirth.
Yeah, reason to believe in karma, rebirth, yes.
So something came up, and it's something that I actually forgot.
Oh, okay.
So it just came up. It was an experience.
Yeah. Very good, yeah.
Something that I was... more like past life.
Ah, very good. Mm.
So this was my experience that I realized, or I remember, vision.
Yeah,
I got the
you,
vision.
You have a vision, yeah.
That I was in a desert. Desert area by the...
Yeah.
And that is actually a very old civilization.
Yes.
Where the, it was by a cliff. And it was all carved out from the... On the mountain.
Yes, yes, yes. On the mountain face. Yeah.
And it was a very, very old place.
Mm-hmm.
And... It was more like a dream.
Yeah. Correct. It's always like that. Yeah. Sometimes it's before you wake up. That one is the more accurate one.
Yes. I also had the vision of the people there.
Yeah.
And actually, I built the place.
Oh, sadhu.
Something like that.
Sadhu.
I thought it was a dream.
Yeah, you will come to know later on. It's not a dream. It's something to do with your past life. That's why this life you also civil engineer. You could have that skill to build all these things.
Also saw how it ended.
Yeah.
And of course with some mixed feelings.
Correct.
And after that, I kind of like woke up.
And
I shared that with my friend.
Oh, okay.
And my friend actually went to look up.
Oh.
And they found the place.
Oh, sadhu.
This is a place about almost 600 years ago.
600 years ago, okay.
It is in the Central America.
Oh, okay.
And then the place they showed me a picture.
Oh, okay.
It was exactly how I...
Yeah, how you visualize it. Yeah, vision.
Not,
I'm not... You have not been there.
Or I've not read about it.
Yeah.
So, when you shared about the rebirth...
Yeah.
I was not sure.
Correct.
This thing just came out.
It will come out.
So, that's one thing.
Very good. Sadhu. Rejoice. Sadhu. Last time, N also same. We were at this Wuping Ching Se, having the Sunday class. Then we were using the chanting book. They want to chant Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta because before they go to India, they want to have that chanting. So they were actually training for quite some time. But I didn't know because that spiritual trip, they go with Ajahn Chah-lawa, I think, the India trip. So what happened was, on the chanting book, the cover page was this, Bugaya, the place where the Buddha got enlightened. So that temple. So that front page, suddenly Anne come and ask me, Pretty, what is this? I said, this is a famous Bugaya temple where the Buddha got enlightened during his time, 2,600 over years. Then they built this temple exactly in the location to commemorate that. He said he saw in her dream. Then I said, you should go. That's why she went. Oh, and a lot of things happened. She went for the India trip. Oh, immediately after that, she went for the India trip. Then it seems the moment she landed, you want her to tell you the story better. 还记得吗? 你讲那个 chanting came to you. It was with you all the time. Even when Ajahn Chah-lawa asked you all to buddho, go to the cremation place, you remember? Very eerie one. You say, your chanting keep on coming out, cannot buddho, just that chanting full of awareness. And the whole trip, the chanting was with her. That's why a lot of things you may not understand, because it's from your past. Things that you do regularly, habitually, with faith, when you make strong aspiration, strong adhitana, or strong vows, they will be very strong. And it's like when you plant the seed of Bodhi with a lot of faith, sincerity, and understanding, it will nurture. It will go deep into your nature. Then it will have the causes and condition to come out. That's why a lot of people cannot understand. Well, this type of cultivation are for real cultivators who are very, very determined and have very strong faith and strong mind, strong awareness, understanding, wisdom. But most of the other great leaders, or they come non-spiritual, they use their mind, willpower. Yeah. That's why Matthew, he's very strong in willpower. His willpower is very strong. As long as he still got thing to do, he will stay on. He is very, very strong. Even at his age, 94, you look at him. He is still very, very energetic. He traveled to UK, the recent one, Oxford Union, and he delivered his speech and all those things. And he can attend all those very hectic schedule, like the one before this was the United Nations thing. And he even went for the Davos, the recent international conference. Then the earlier one was the South American one. Then we have a few trips he went to Japan. And he was given the honor. Then recently, I think, invited to Africa. African country also invite him. Then he was also in Beijing. You look at him at this age, and some more prime minister, you know how much duty he has. So he has to attend so many functions, deliver so many speech, plan so many of these things, even the party election, all not easy. And he, as if he is not that old, he's doing it all, actually better than a lot of people. That's why these are the people who believe in something, have strong will and sincere. If you look at his life, he is really very blessed. Not only him, no. The wife together with him. Both also 93 plus. They were classmates and they were doctors, no. Actually, during his time, it's very difficult to even pass Form 3. And to become a doctor, especially his race, not easy. That's why he admitted he's not the top student, the smart one, but he do average. But he compensates it by reading up many times. So he is very smart, very intellect in his understanding. Then he read very widely. And he has very strong mind. His willpower very strong. Then when he determined to do something, it's always he believes it's for the good of the many. And because of his parami, he has this nature. But these are willpower. So the Buddha actually mentioned under the 37 factors of enlightenment. The first four are for normal human beings, lay people. You remember the first four? They call it the... there is an English word. The four bases of success. You heard of this? The four bases of success. I think Ittipada or don't know what, I forgot already. And one of them is willpower, citta. So the first one is, I remember, is passion. Passion. You must have that love, that passion to do that thing. So he has this passion to be a leader. To be in politics, to help people and all those things. Then that passion gives rise to that virya, the driving force, to drive him to actually cultivate. And the third basis of success is willpower, citta. Then the last one is vimamsa. Vimamsa is investigative understanding. He has all these four, very powerful. He has real passion to develop what he wants to develop. And because of that, he read a lot. Then he is very diligent. His virya, the energy is very strong. Then his willpower is very strong. Then after that, he keep on investigating vimamsa. Then he keep on like improving himself after he investigates. That's why these are the four bases of success for normal human being. If you have these four, the Buddha say you will be successful, even business or whatever, sports and all those things. But for spiritual, you need different factors of enlightenment. Spiritual, you need the other 37. The other 37, most of them is the seven factors of enlightenment and the Noble Eightfold Path. And within these seven factors of enlightenment and Noble Eightfold Path, sati is repeated many times. Sati is most important, mindfulness. Then you have all the other Noble Eightfold Path factor, right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, then right livelihood. Then you got the four right efforts. Then you got samasati, samasamadhi. Then the factors of enlightenment is also very powerful. It starts with sati, then dhamma investigation. This dhamma investigation is inclusive of the spiritual part, whereas vimamsa is without the spiritual part. Vimamsa also investigation, but not investigation into dhamma. Investigation into everything that he wants to know and he improve himself. So after you investigate into dhamma, if you stand up to investigation, your faith becomes stronger because you know this teaching is so beautiful and it's the truth. That's why after that you become very, very diligent. So your virya become very strong. That's why the third enlightenment factor come. Then after virya, you will have this ability to experience what they call the beautiful mind. That's why you experience sati. Piti. You will experience this strong, deep spiritual joy, spiritual calmness, peacefulness of mind, because by then you are very mindful. Then when piti arises, if you continue to relax into it and silent, you will experience sukhang. But sukhang is not an enlightenment factor. So don't get trapped, don't attach the blissfulness of mind. Just allow it to pass. Relax into it, experience it. Then it will accumulate into paucity. Paucity is an enlightenment factor. So that one, a lot of Buddhist cultivator meditate don't understand. This is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the true mind, your meditative mind. So when all your thinking stop, when all sankara stop, when all your mindfulness also stop, it's just aware. That is paucity. Then when paucity is there, the enlightenment factor is very powerful. That is the one that can see things as they are. Then you continue to stabilize it until it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is the collectedness of mind, unwavering mind, but it's a free mind. That's why this samadhi is not a conditioned state, not due to concentration or energy field or jhana and all that. No, it's a free mind that is collected and unwavering because of the wisdom, the understanding, and the stability of paucity. Because this mind that is very quiet, very still, always tranquil, it will stay that way. Then when it has this ability to stay that way, you keep on seeing things as they are, because the brain, the conditioning, the memory cannot come and interfere. Yeah, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel something, or the thought when it arises, because of the samadhi and the tranquility or stillness, the paucity, your mind doesn't move at all, doesn't stir, doesn't move. It stays the way it is because it's collected, unwavering. Then it can understand what is going on. That's why it can see things as they are. Then it will keep on awakening. It will keep on awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, empty nature, existence or non-self, not a permanent object. You will see them very clearly. Then you understand everything is like that. No reality, not what you think. Then the form and mind, not what you think. He know you, he know me. It's just the aggregates of mind, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Nature goes the way of nature, following nature's law. That everything is just the way it is. So beautiful. That's how this teaching can bring about great transformation in you, great awakening in you. Then you become different, because when that awakening arises, this wisdom is connected to your form and mind. That's why after that, your form and mind, it become different, not deluded anymore, don't have avijja anymore because of this wisdom connected. And because of that, all the phenomenal world of form and consciousness cannot deceive you, cannot cause suffering to you, cannot stir your mind anymore. Because you see them clearly and you understand them for what they are. They are not what you think. But you will also know the spiritual law and the law of karma. The law of karma actually is very, very closely related to your form and mind. And you will know this form and mind is subject to karma. Then you will know how to do your duty very well. You will know how to make use of this form and mind to do your duty, to cultivate, to develop the understanding of life, then to be a blessing to all, then to experience life, to live life, to do all those things that you want to do with it. So this becomes a beautiful form and mind, or a vehicle and a tool for you to come and live life beautifully. That's why under the chanting just now, when we chant the salutation to the Sangha, so that one is a very good check. If you want to know whether you have cultivated correctly or not. The Buddha said the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, they got these four qualities. The eight pairs of beings, enlightened beings. Every stage of sainthood or enlightened being, there are two pair. One is on the path, the other one is already have the friction. So path and friction. Path means you awaken already, but your understanding not stable yet. You have not come to friction, means ripen. Your wisdom hasn't ripened yet. So when your wisdom ripens, then you become very clear, very deep in your understanding. Then when you have the friction, that enlightenment or the stage you are in, you can actually teach and share. But before the friction, you understand, but you cannot teach, you cannot share, because you don't have the stability of understanding yet. So these four pairs of being, you got first stage of sainthood, sotapanna, second stage of sainthood, Sakadagami. The third stage of sainthood, Anagami. And finally is Arahant. So these four pairs of being, the Buddha say, they have four great qualities. So we chant just now, Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. What is the meaning? Of what? Good conduct. Is the disciple of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. So first is of good conduct, supatipanno. Then the second one is of right conduct. That's why of right conduct is very important. Means you not only have good conduct, you are very righteous. Understand? Righteous means you have right conduct. You don't like those politicians, can pushing here, pushing there, and compromise. No, you are very righteous. Wrong means wrong. Cannot do means cannot do. It's not you are rigid, understand? Righteous means you stand up for people who really, what they call, because of your righteousness, you really stand up for the weak and the poor, because they don't have the ability to defend themselves, protect themselves, or fend for themselves. So through your understanding, you know their rights and all those things. So you have this understanding, you have this righteousness, you are willing to spend time and fight for them. and behave in a righteous way. It's just like when you are in the midst of life or society, let's say, then somebody actually was charged for some crime or whatever. Then you actually know that this guy didn't do it. But you know it's a political thing, or somebody trying to frame him. But this guy who tried to frame him is so powerful. So you dare not actually stand in and become the witness or whatever and prove that he doesn't commit that thing. So if you have this righteousness, you will do. You will not be afraid because you will do it. Because you are righteous. Then you actually understand the importance of being righteous, so that in future you will not suffer the same consequence. Understand not? When people do this thing to you, then nobody stand up for you. But because you're righteous, you bring about justice and you help people to redeem themselves and to free. Then that action will become your coming inheritance. Then it will become the appropriate causes and condition, if there is condition in your future life, when you need these people to help you, these people will arise. Then being righteous, a lot of things will clear up. That's why I have faith in your parami, in your karma, in your understanding, that everything will go your way. Your nature is not that. You don't have to go and worry, cannot lie, if I stand out, they will kill me. They will put me in prison. But I'm not asking you to go and do all those foolish things. Politics is not spiritual. Politics sometimes very dirty. So don't say, hey, brother, you say, righteous, don't be good. No, righteous means through your spiritual understanding, you know, you understand. And there is condition to do, and it's for a spiritual cause, understand? It's not for all this political or what they call society style or worldly thing. That one is righteous according to you or according to the individual. That one is not appropriate. But this one is through spiritual understanding, through your wisdom. Then you will stand out because you are being righteous. Then if you have condition to save people, you will actually go and help. So righteous conduct is very important. Then the third one is nyaya patipanno. Nyaya is wisdom. Or wise conduct is the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Then the last one, samici patipanno, what is that? Of dutiful conduct means you do your duty very well. He has this duty in him. And that is the wisdom that allow them to have the understanding that the law of karma recognizes relationship, recognizes all this worldly thing. So when you have the understanding, your form and mind will not simply do things. It will not simply neglect things. If it's your duty, you will do. You do your duty very well. Your duty as a husband, as a father, as a parent, or as a child, or as an employer, employee. So these are your role, your duty. Because these are law of karma. You reap what you sow. If you treat people well, care for them, you are sincere, you are righteous, then all this become your coming inheritance. Then people will treat you well. Even your neighbors, your friends, your colleagues, or whatever. So duty is very important. When you have goodness and kindness and virtue, you will do your duty very well because you are incapable of evil and so on. So you will do all those things in accordance with Noble Eightfold Path. You will be a blessing to all. So when you do your duty towards your children, towards your family, your parents and all that. So in future, you will receive the fruition of it, the reward. You will have parents who will do the duty back to you, care for you, provide for you. Then you will have children that also will support you, care for you, provide for you when you grow old, because you have looked after your parents before. As a child, you do your duty very well. You bring honor to your family. Your children will bring honor to you and your family in future. So all this is part and parcel of the nature's law, especially the law of karma. So this right duty will allow you to live your life differently. We are a lot of Buddhists, when they cultivate, they fail to understand this. They think they know. Actually, they use the Dhamma knowledge. You say the Buddha say non-self one, not me one. Everything is not real one. Then lead to suffering one. So I don't want to attach. I don't want to cling. I want to practice letting go. So you do all this. This is foolish, understand? Then he say, he know me, he know you. I where got kill you? You don't exist, so. Oh, you go and think like that. Oh. Then he say, non-self one. I where got steal? Form and mind steal, not me. He go and pushing the thing. This is completely without wisdom. Wisdom is the form and mind is related to you. And this one got karmic consequence, understand? Because it's from your karmic nature. It's not completely detached from you, no. It's not completely different, no. Not you at all, no. In the ultimate sense, yes, non-self, not real. Not the real eternal nature. That's why it's non-self, not you. But this form of mind has its duty. It's subject to law of karma. That's why it is karmically conditional for you to come to this universe. It's a vehicle and a tool for you to come. And this one, you have to understand. Then you have to do your duty and take care. Otherwise, you will entangle yourself and create a lot of karmic negativity. Then your karmic nature will have problem. Then in future when you come, you say, why like that? Because all the Dhamma you learn is theory, knowledge, not the real one. But when you learn the real one, everything becomes very clear. And even this life you will see it. If you have cultivated correctly, developed the correct understanding, then all of your virtue will be reflected and it will protect you. It will liberate your mind and it will give you the good life. That's why you will experience this type of very, very beautiful life. Means everything go your way, like you are very lucky. Actually, it's not you are lucky. It's because of your virtue, your parami, your understanding, your wisdom. These are the ones that protect you. And these are the ones that give you the understanding to live your life in such a way so that karmic negativity will not entangle you, will not have power over you. And then through wisdom, even if they arise, it has no power over you. It cannot affect you. When it cannot affect you, it will reverse itself. Karma is like that. When there is no condition to torment you, then straight away it reverses itself. Unless it is the five heavy karma. If it's the five heavy karma, it will create karmic obstruction. It will block your wisdom. You have to experience it. That's why even certain arahant, because of heavy karma, the moment they become arahant, they say they have to die. That like two cases during the Buddha time, I think the cow gore them to death because of some karmic past. This non-human want to take revenge. So they went into the consciousness of that cow or whatever. Then it attack them. So a lot of this thing, if you have developed the understanding, you will never do. But during era or certain life, segmented life, when you come, when you have delusion, you got no control actually. You cannot say you won't do. The reason why I say this is, you remember Mongalana? Venerable Maha Mongalana? He is foremost in psychic now. He is one of the two chief disciples of the Buddha now, after Sariputta is him. And during that life of the Buddha, despite his psychic ability and he was an arahant, and yet he was clobbered to death by those people who wanted to actually kill him. And the reason was, the Buddha said, in one of the distant past, he and the wife plot against the blind parent. So they plot this, told the parent, they say, we would like to send the two of you all back to you. Maybe like we call it hometown, our jiaxiang, or your birthplace or what. So the parent were very happy. He said, okay, that is good. We are back there, got people to look after them, and they got all their whatever things there. So while on the trip, actually they fake the scene like they were attacked by robbers. So, but the parents are blind, they can't see. Then they told their parents, they say, the robber is coming, they are attacking us, you better go and hide, and I will get people to send you back and all those things. You know what the parents say? No, 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 you more important. They ask the son to run. He said, don't worry about me. You all run for your life. We are already so old and blind. We are prepared to die. And the husband and wife actually killed the parent in the guise of being robber that killed him. And because of that heavy karma, that life as an arahant with the psychic ability, he kena back. According to the sutta, it seems it happened 6 times. And the reason why it has to happen, because there were causes and conditions for it to happen. During that time, he got this psychic ability. He will know when, after a person dies, this person take birth there, where and what happened to them. Because he is foremost in psychic, he can go and check. So during that time, he became very popular, because a lot of other teachers, they got their student and all those things. After they die, they claim that their student is in heaven and all those things, or in a happy plane. Mongalana went and checked. No, he said, in another plane, some even in hell. So he became very famous, Anasana. So all the other teachers, they were jealous of the Buddha because of Mongalana. So what happened is, they plotted against the Buddha. So they want to bring down the Buddha's reputation. And to do that, they had to send people to kill Mongalana. So for 6 times, he used his psychic, where he know they are coming. Then he disappeared. They can't find him. But when it happened for the 6th time, he checked. Yeah, he got psychic, he checked. Then he realized, in the past, distant past, he did this to his blind parent. Then he knew the karmic cannot run. So during the 7th time, he didn't escape. He let them do what they want. And it seemed they smashed him out until his body were all scattered and broken. And normal people, the consciousness cannot stay inside there already. But he was able to stay inside there because of his psychic. After they smashed him out, after they were all gone, he actually dead already. But his psychic, with his consciousness, he managed to bring all this smashed up body together. And you know where he went? he went and paid respect to Sakyamuni Buddha. He said, I have to go. I have to leave. The Buddha knew. He said, yeah, this is karma. He said, yeah, that's why I didn't disappear the last time. So, despite his ability, karma, if it's heavy, you cannot run. You understand? That's why I never commit the five heavy karma. They call it the heinous deed. You know what the five heavy karma is? The first two is what? Huh? Kill your parent, huh? Matricide. The third one? Huh? What is it? Killing of an arahant. Then the fourth one? No, that one is the last one. Sikhism. Cause Sikhism in the Sangha. Not the ordinary Sangha. No. The real Sangha. No. Where this Sangha are enlightened disciples of the Buddha. They are real practitioner, cultivator. And you create Sikhism. Means disorder within the Sangha. Means you have very, very evil motive. You want to take over. It's just like during the time of the Buddha, the cousin, Devadatta. Yeah. He wanted to take over the order from Sakyamuni. That's why he created Sikhism and he divided the Sangha. And he pulled away one big batch of followers to follow him. Because he said all those very, very negative things. And he even challenged the Buddha's behind when the Buddha, not in front of the Buddha, he tell the disciple that time, he really say a lot of this word that he shouldn't have said. So because of that, he created this Sikhism. Then during that life, when he lost his psychic, initially he also got psychic, where he do jhana, understand? Then when he lost his psychic, you know what happened? His followers leave him because he got no more magical power, understand? Then he became very miserable. Then later on, he wanted to ask for forgiveness from the Buddha. He went there. Before he can reach, the ground opened up and swallowed him. Went down to Avijja hell. Then the Buddha predicted for very long he will be down there. Well, he did two things. No? He hurt the Buddha, you remember? He plot to kill the Buddha, but you cannot kill the Buddha. So he threw all the rock down. And this rock, one of them, the sharp piece, hit the Buddha's leg, I think. Then there was one doctor, or what they call it, who can help people to heal, you know what I'm saying? And that one came and helped him and healed him, his wound. But because he did that, then he created Sikhism. He that life itself, he went down Avijja hell for very long. But the Buddha still predict because of his parami, because of what he has done when he was with him cultivating and all those things, all the karmic thing. He said, in the distant future, very, very long, much, I don't know how long, he will still become a Pacheka Buddha. Pacheka Buddha. So all these are in the scripture. If you want to read, you can go and read. But I didn't read. I heard from Suwano. So a lot of these things, now with the internet, maybe you can go in. They are out there. You can check it out. So when it comes to heavy karma, don't play a fool. Understand? That's why you must make this aspiration never to allow your form and mind to do any of this. You need very strong what they call faith and very strong adhitana. Adhitana means you vow, you develop the strong aspiration. When you invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you not to do all this. Never do all this. Then after you have this understanding, your cultivation will be all the way up. It will never fall. That's why the Bodhisattva way is very important, the blue book. You have to really go through it, understand it, and master it. Then after that, set your very strong imprint this life. Means you plant your Bodhisattva or your Bodhi mind with very strong faith, with very strong what they call sincerity and understanding, and determine strongly that you want to have all this understanding life after life, so that you will not deviate from the cultivation. Then you vow to keep the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva. Then you vow to cultivate sincerely, faithfully, diligently, until perfection of those vows. Means towards Buddhahood, Sama Sambuddhahood. Okay, that's what we can share up till now. Anybody else want to share anything before we start chapter 25? On rebirth or anybody? Don't have, Okay, then we go to chapter 25, page 419. Paticca Samuppada, the wheel of life. So this one is a Pali rendering. Paticca Samuppada. So the English translation is dependent origination. Samudaya is origin, origination. Dependent, paticca. So dependent or ignorant arises what? Sankara, activity of mind, mental thinking. So under the Visuddhi Magga, they did quote this. Visuddhi Magga is another text. This one is not from the Buddha. It's from this Buddha Kosa. He's a Brahmin. He wrote this, the path, seven stages of purification, I think. So Visuddhi is purification, the path to purification. He said, no God, no Brahma can be found, no matter of this wheel of life, just bare phenomena role, dependent on condition. Oh. So this one, the English rendering is not so clear. You cannot really understand. But what my teacher gave Ajayantra is very good. He used this word, is it? Only mighty nature rolling by. You can understand. I have a better write on the whiteboard. He said, only mighty nature rolling by. In fact, the whole of life, it's just this, only mighty nature rolling by. Because everything follows nature's law, you understand? So nature's law governs all of life and existence within the existential world. So if it's only mighty nature rolling by, then you should have the understanding to live life. Because you cannot want things your way. Everything follows nature's law. So when you understand this nature's law, which are the five universal order of nature, Utuniyama, Bijaniyama, Chittaniyama, Kamaniyama, Chittaniyama, and Dhammaniyama, then you will understand life. You will know how to live life. That's why these are very powerful truths. So only mighty nature rolling by. Whereas this book, they use the other word which is not so clear. They use this word, just bare phenomenal role. You can understand, just bare phenomenal role. This doesn't really bring out the meaning. Then he said, dependent on conditions. Oh, I don't know, very difficult for me to understand. I don't know what about you all. But for me, when I hear this, I understand very clearly. Beyond nature is very powerful. It governs everything. That's why only mighty nature ruling by. So we choose accept everything as natural. So this is the second part. So first part is only mighty nature ruling by. Then the second part he say, we choose accept everything as natural. So this second statement is wisdom. Wisdom. So it's a consequence of the first one. So when you have this, you have wisdom. Because when you can accept, we choose accept everything as natural. So whatever happened in life is a nature's phenomenon. Like the Buddha said, when condition is like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. Understand? Then the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are, every moment, every instant, because of karma. So what else can it be? Understand? That's why when somebody cheat you, abuse you, or deceive you, or create problem for you, don't go and get angry and miserable over here. In the past, you must have done this nonsense to people. That's why this life you have the condition to receive them back. This is what karma is all about. So when you choose accept everything as natural, means you accept. Because these are the cause. Wendy, use the mic.
When you angry because of a traffic jam, is it karma?
That one is lack of understanding. So, in a way, it is linked to karma, you understand. Because your evil root, of angry, impatient, and all those things, they come about through conditioning, understand? If you had cultivated that perfection and the understanding before, when you come, you become different. Even for my own case, I know. In many aspects of my life, where I have that understanding already developed, it will come out and protect me. Like I cannot be cruel, I cannot kill, I cannot just get angry like that, cannot. Then when I understand, it completely cannot arise. Completely. Of course, traffic, most people have it. Sometimes, especially when you are in a rush, when you have to attend certain important function or meeting or whatever, then you will like have this unhappiness inside. Why these people like that? Traffic light green already, still don't want to go. So you will complain. But this is something that you need to learn from life. Because if you complain, what will happen? It becomes an evil root, negative. So you have anger, you have aversion, you have dislike. Then you want things your way. And do you know during this time, you create condition for accident to happen? Because you are not heedful anymore. You are not aware anymore. Then when you create this through an unconscious mind, there is heedless thinking, there is heedlessness, then this karmic, if you got such karmic from the past, you will get into trouble. Or people will bang you. And it becomes worse. And most of the time, for me, is when I have the understanding, I become patient. And when I become patient, do you know what happened or not? You won't believe one. I think some Kayanamita had experienced that. All of a sudden, the traffic dispersed by itself. No? And you will know how to go on the right road on and avoid all the jam. Very funny. Then, supposed to rain, supposed to be terrible already. But because of your understanding, you maintain the inner peace, inner calmness, the clarity and the awareness. Then you accept this reality for what it is. Means you got no reaction or emotion. With the fate, you somehow can smile. I tell you, things will go your way. Then you see all these things unfolding by itself. I saw it many times during the early days. That's why I just laugh. Then all of a sudden, everything just clear. You can say for no reason, but actually there's a reason, because of your understanding of your nature. Then sometimes you find that you are like very lucky, No way you can find car park already. All of a sudden, somebody just come out and you just park. And many, many times already. During the early day, I remember. You know, Brakefield, when you were there, you know, all night chanting. Park until full one inside there. No space one, nothing. Everybody go there very early and they park their car until next morning. Most of them. So somebody volunteered to fetch me there. Then as he approached, it was raining. Then he told me, Bertio, I think I drop you first. Then I go and park somewhere. Then I come back and see you. I said, no need. Go inside. He said, full law. I said, you don't worry, you go in. Immediately he went in, really full law. Then all of a sudden when he want to reverse out, there is somebody reversing his car out. Then we park. Very good parking lot. It happened like that. Then he was amazed. Wow, is it pretty? Next time must come with you. Is it easy to find car park? And not only him, many incidents. Even my wife and all those things, they used to say, it's like meant to be. Then impossible, but it will happen. That's why I have faith in your own parami. Have faith in your own understanding, your cultivation. Then things will go your way. No negativity. Don't go and react and stir. Even if you have the parami and all those things, you don't know how to act, you will still not get what you want. It won't go your way. You know why? But the moment you are unhappy, that mind state prevents your parami from coming in. But it will cancel off the condition. But when you accept the reality with understanding, with wisdom, and have joy, then just patiently allow things to be, everything will reverse. It will start to reverse. The other thing about life you must learn is, when you start to be aware, and you have the mindfulness, when you start to see a lot of things not going your way, you know already, karma is coming already. Then you have to immediately develop the mindfulness, the wisdom. You need to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness, understand? If you need to do offering, donation, or what, do, then share these merits with whoever, whomever from the distant past, very knowingly or unknowingly, that this karmic nature of mine has caused any karmic negativity or what, I would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. Then may these merits be shared with them, and all things. And may all this coming negativity be amicably resolved. So unless you do all this, I tell you, it's going to come. And you cannot stop. You cannot stop. Because during the early day of my cultivation, I saw. Every time I saw the sign, I already become very attentive. Really. initially, you know why or not? There was one incident when I got this new car. I think my first new car, the Lancer. The first 2 months, the sign came, no. I got 3 tires, one by one, no, punctured, no. Either kena nail or what, no. Seldom one. But that 1 or 2 months, 3 tires kena this type of thing, no. Then I knew already, something is not right already. Then, because you had to pay back this type of karmic debt, you had to spend money on it, or no. Then I know. Then, one day, when the accident happened, then I have to pay and I have to lose my NCB, everything. Because I claim my own insurance, I lost my NCB. Then I had to pay the guy that I banged. So, because it was in a traffic light area. No? Then that day, I think afternoon, after lunch, you were sleepy. You know? So, no? Then I've been driving for quite long also. Then near the traffic light, actually no reason to bang the floor. I doze off, no, because of the karmic conditioning. Bam! Then bang. No. So immediately I have to come down and ask for forgiveness. Sorry, I was really very tired, I say. And I actually fell asleep. That's why I bang you. Then I say, you don't worry. Yeah? I gave him my card. I say, you can claim my insurance. Yeah? Or otherwise, I will pay you, yeah, for whatever. Yeah, I scared he lose his NCB and all that. Say, I will pay you. Yeah? You let me know how much. Then I think he said, you got any workshop or not? Luckily, I got one workshop. So I took him to that workshop. Then I told the workshop, the mechanic, I say, whatever you calculate, then you do. I will come and pay. Luckily, not much. I think I paid about 400 something for him. Then my own one, I claim my own insurance. Yeah. So because of all this, I start to understand, no, certain karmic, monetary one, you have to pay back means you have to pay back one. That's why no point cheating people one, no point taking advantage of people one, no point. So during the early days, I need to pay back all this. My karma, I pay back. Yeah. You pay back because tire puncture also need money. Repair also need money, pay people also need money. But when I was a student, I was very lucky. I borrowed my classmate's motorbike. Then I met with an accident. I actually banged into a Volvo. That time I was still a student. I used Honda car, I never used a CB100. The CB100 was a bigger motorbike, so I'm not used to it. So that one's more clutch one. No? I never used clutch one. So kena accident. And the good karma was that Volvo guy, he came now and he looked at me, are you okay? I say, yeah, I'm okay, but my motorbike not okay. Then he looked at his car. His car, actually Volvo, very tough, not much damage. He said, don't worry. He said, are you a student? I said, yeah, MU. I give you my card. He said, you go and get it repaired. Let me know. Give me a call. I will go to the workshop. I will pay. So I took that card. I thanked him. Then I went back to my classmate. You know. When I was pushing that motorbike back to him, I was very surprised he never scold me. You know. He looked at me. What happened? I said, very sorry. Met with an accident. Accident? He also not much money. You know. He also like me. The scholarship or the loan, enough to survive on it. You know. Then when I told him about the owner that gave me the card, he was so happy. You know. Wow, he said, thank you, thank you, thank you. A lot of part I want to actually service and repair. He one shot sent his motorbike. He did everything out. And the next day he came brand new. You know. Then he said, thank you so much. He said, you want to borrow the bike again? You are welcome. That's why that time as a student, don't have the money yet. So that karma won't come on. So it's meant to be. Then you know what happened? Because of that, I vow. I make an aspiration to help him. I say, if there is condition, I will help him. And really, my classmate. And really, you know, after we graduate, recession, his company, he was working for a consultant in KL, very famous one, that did this Shangri-La Hotel. Then later on, Hotel Istana under me. He, the company, went into recession. The main office bankrupt. Kena sue, then kena garnishment. Then he himself also like cut pay, retrench. Until everybody that time, 1986, 87, the not currency crisis, the recession, I think. A lot of graduate out of job. Then during that time, because he went through that, he talked to the Malay partner. He said, I think we come out. We break away from that big, your main company. Then you go and open your own smaller one. But he used the reference of that big company to get job as a seller. So what happened was, because they did Shangri-La, so after they came out and set up their own company, the government actually offered JKR job to that Malay partner. Then Hotel Istana, because also five-star hotel, they go and find out who were the consultant of this Shangri-La. They want to appoint the same one. We have the building safe. So they found out it was our old company, you know. So he gave the job to him, you know. But nobody can handle, you know. We had that last time quite low, and all those things, they are very expert, you know. So he got problem, he got nobody to help him, you know. Then that new year, he came to my house, you know. Classmate all come. Everybody recession, he said he wants to look for a senior engineer. So we all laugh at him, you know. Then later on, I remember what I vow, understand? I make that vow to help him. Then he very good. He very close to me. Training, he was also together with me in cross-language. That's how I met my wife. Then he zero book one. No, he enter very enterprising. Then every time he zero book one, he sell to me cheaper by 1 ringgit. Then he also Hakka, countryman. So because of that, I remember, I recall that incident. Then I said, okay, I call him up. But at that time, I think near to 1989, I also want to come out and test myself. I call him up. I said, you told us you were looking for a senior engineer. He said, yeah. Why? You got somebody to recommend? I said, no. I said, I will come and help you. I said, huh? You are? I cannot afford you. He said, yeah, he visited me before. I was a government servant, very senior, super skilled. I got a room. I got a lot of staff. I got 2 stenographer, 1 secretary, and I got a lot of stuff. He said, I cannot afford you. I said, if I say I come and help you, means I come and help you. You don't worry about the pay. As long as you pay me reasonable, I will just come out. But I didn't tell him I want to come out and test myself. So because of that, he was very happy. Then he asked me, what is your latest pay in the government? Government that time super scale, only 3,000 plus, very little. And that is after the perks, after the entertainment allowance and the housing allowance, 3,000 plus. Yeah. Oh, he said, this amount I can afford. Hey, early 80s, it's not little. Actually, that time, you get 3,000 something, is very good money already. Well, that time things were so cheap. Japan, everything was so cheap. 70 cents, 80 cents. Then houses were so cheap. I bought this first house, 148,000. Understand? Then the car, 16,000. Already a very good car, 1,060 cc. So that time, Sam Ching Gei Ban is good money. My wife, temporary teacher, a few hundred ringgit only. So that time, it was actually good money. So he said, 3,000 something. With that project, I can easily afford you, is it? So I went over. The moment I went over, the whole company turned around. And they got so much job. Then after that, the Malay partner and him so happy. He told me, he indirectly tell me, don't go. He said, stay. He said, every year I give you double increment. Then at least 6 month bonus. So since the year I went in, the government, the company never paid bonus every time pay cut or no. But the moment I went in, because of the JKR job, and I alone with one draftsman, I did the whole thing for you. And actually, a lot of fees, no, they collected. And their overhead very low. No. Their overhead for 1 month, I think that time, we, just a few of us, I think the overhead is only about 20,000 a month. But the fee that come in, one project, the fee is almost 800,000. No. Fees alone. No. Yeah. Then the JKR one also, JKR was Middle Ring Road. Yeah, Middle Ring Road. That one, the fee also quite a lot, almost $1 million. Yeah. Then together with all the hotel, Istana, everything, he was making good money. You know, that's why he gave very good bonus. He gave double increment every year. He said 6 months review one time, 6 months review one time. Then he start to hire staff. You know. That's why everywhere I go, I actually make the company fatat on. That is what karma is all about. So because of that, he was so like happy and so grateful. Then the Malay partner, the Tuan Haji, also very nice guy. Although he is, he was also a civil engineer, much senior. But he is a very pious Muslim. Means very sincere and very faithful. He really go to mosque and all things. 5 times a day, even travel to JKR for meeting in, I think, Pahang and all those areas. He used to drive me. Then he will tell me, Tio, you go and have your food, then you come back here and meet me. Yeah? He will look for a surau. He will know where to look for a surau or a mosque. Then I find him a really spiritual guy. He's the only Malay that is not greedy on. You understand? Really, not greedy one. And he treat the staff very, very well, one. Very, very kind. And he's a very simple person. Good family and all those things. That's why I knew why I need to go there and all those things. Is to help him and to help my classmate because of past affinity and all those things. Then after that, I stayed there for about 7 years. 7 years. 89, I left in 96, where I want to try. Well, by then, the company on stable footing, very successful. Then I did the CRMS, everything for them. No? And they became very well-known, no? The consultant. Yeah, I was very good that time. The whole of the CRMS, actually, I did it up for them. Then many of the projects, they were very big and very prestigious. Even the Sofin Estate under Berjaya Corp, the very big development. There are a lot of major infrastructure work. Then we even did a lot of privatization. Yeah. We work with a lot of very well-known architects. So all these were the condition. Then also my nature want to experience my career. I want to go one full round. So the last one that I haven't tried was the listed company. And I haven't tasted ESOS and all those things. Then, very funny, you know, when I saw that everything was already okay, about time already, suddenly people headhunt me. And that's why I landed in a listed company. Yeah. Then, again, I did a lot of things for him. I claimed a lot of money for the company, the listed company. So, all this, you can see how it can happen and how it flows. People who has affinity with you, have condition with you, the sign will come, the condition will come, and my nature will know how to move to benefit who and all those things. Then a lot of all this, if you have the understanding, you will see how it unfolds so beautifully. And I don't have to do anything. Basically, my nature just accord and flow. And everything just flow so beautiful. And it's for you to see. And the test was the best. That's why a lot of things that I share with you is because I came out to test. Then I know how my brain and all those things work. Then how the mundane mind collapse and all that. So initially when I came out and joined my class with the consultant, actually that time my mundane mind about to collapse already. Then my brain cannot move already. You know? When I was reading the project file and the paper, I was like, inside tell me, you know, you want to suffer, you go and read. You want to suffer, you go and read. You go and, like a normal person, hold on to memory, remember things. Then I realize cannot. This mind cannot. If you do that, you suffer. You become miserable. Then every time, well, I know how to relax. I know how to meditate. So every time I just relax and silent, the mind go back to normal. No? When you are in a consultant, a lot of work to do, a lot of meeting, everything. So what happened was, my mind was already with the understanding, actually transformed already. But when I went out, because I need to do all this work again. No? So I realized when I spend time doing all this, that condition created sankhara up here again. No? And this sankhara movement, I can see it very clearly. You know? Then when I saw it, I didn't react. That's why I knew what it is. So I just relax, sit on the chair, in the office chair, the executive chair, also cross my leg. The moment I sit, I silent. Within 1 or 2 minutes, it go back to stillness. That's why I know. No need to do anything. And that is what meditation is all about. That's why later on when I come out to teach, I cannot straight away teach like that. Otherwise people will run away. You all cannot do it. Your spiritual faculty were not there. And you all need method and technique. Understand? And you all need all the word, vipassana, jhana, all those things. That's why I cannot just share with you that I need to slowly, slowly let you understand. The most difficult part is sati. I try to teach sati, how to teach. The moment you are without thought, you already have sati. You are already in sati. But who can understand? Everybody think I must note to develop sati. You remember? Note. Rising, falling. Note, standing, walking. All the type of vipassana that you have been doing. That type of teaching is so different. All thought-based. Cannot. That is not sati. The real sati is different. That's why at that time, it's near to impossible. But luckily, got condition. Slowly, I reversed the teaching. Then I started from very, very basic, the essential Dhamma. Then I keep on repeating. The Four Noble Truths, the Three Turning, everything. Then slowly, all these things went in. Otherwise, it's not easy. It was ahead of time, way ahead. So, all this understanding is not easy for living beings. It's just like you are in the primary school. You meet a Form 6 student. The Form 6 student find it very difficult to tell you that maths is, or arithmetic is not just addition, subtraction, multiplication and division. There are a lot more up there. You shouldn't believe. My teacher teach only these 4 things. Like the Four Noble Truths. But there were so many things up there. You got differential equation, calculus and all the various type of maths. Then as you go up, then you realize what he says is true. Then when you reach the university, again it's different. That's why when you are at that thought-based level, how to teach you those things that are beyond thought, beyond mind. Even sati is so difficult a concept for you to grasp, for people to understand. So it was not easy during the early days. So all this sharing is because there is condition. When I came out into the private sector, I went through all these tests, then I came to know. That's why I can share it with you all. So don't be afraid of life. Even if you have to work, even if you have to do a lot of things in life, you can still cultivate. What you need is understanding the spiritual faculty. Then you can just silence your mind anytime. And later on, especially with the understanding, when I was alone in MU, nobody disturbed me. 1986 to 89, the 3 years, I did the daily mindfulness, full time, non-stop, until the sati came. That's why I understood what it was. Then I used to reflect and contemplate very deep into it. then all the things that I share with you under the five degrees of forming mind and all this Heart Sutta teaching, they were all from my nature's contemplation. Then later on, when it connect, the understanding all come out. Mm. So this is what you need to really develop your own, on your own. Where you have your nature, you have your timing, you have your condition. Everyone is different. But when you move, you will know. Because this one, the inner nature, the moment you connect to it, you will inherit, you will understand. You will see the truth, the reality. Your awareness is different, completely different. And that is not your thought. That awareness is your true nature, your true mind. And that one, when it awakens, it really awakens. And it really have the wisdom and all those things. It's not knowledge anymore. It's not from the thought. It's not from memory. Nothing. It's just that nature awakened. And that understanding is with that nature. That's why that understanding is wisdom. It's not rigid, not a knowledge. It will understand on its own everything. And when it understands, whatever situation, whatever condition, no problem. It just know what to do. It just know how to resolve it. Yeah, it see clearly. Especially the final outcome is these two stanza on the whiteboard. We choose accept everything as natural. That is the deepest wisdom, the greatest wisdom. Then only mighty nature rolling by. Nothing real. Only nature with its nature's law. That's why everything is just dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Then everything become like very clear. Very clear. The whole of the phenomenal world of consciousness, the world of form, they all become very clear to you. Then the moment you have that wisdom, it like has no more power over you, cannot deceive you anymore, cannot delude you anymore. Then it's like the whole creation collapse in front of you. You know what is collapse? It's like that whole thing collapse. You suddenly see truth. Then you realize all these are false, not real. That's why they cannot hold up. And you will not be gullible. You will not give meaning. That's why they all loses its power over you. Then when it collapses, like the mundane mind collapse, there is clarity. Then you start to see things that you never see before. That's why your nature will understand. Truth is everywhere, in the midst of life and nature. What can you see? And what is truth? The universal characteristics are impermanent, suffering state, empty nature or non-self nature. This is the reality of life and existence. This is nature's truth. And they are everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Every moment and every instant. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Their mind is just the awareness. And the awareness will see specific phenomenal awareness. Then it will see all the characteristics very clearly. It will awaken. And this type of cultivation is not thought-based. Not the normal one. This one really, you cannot talk about it unless your form and mind goes through it. And it is not in the book. Go. Hardly any cultivator can write about it. Okay, we better start our Paticca Samuppada. We haven't started. Ah, 10:30 already. So today, chapter 24 only. Chapter 25 not there. Okay. So anyway, you all can go back. Yeah. Can. Yeah. Use the mic. For the recording. Yeah, can I? On it. Yes.
Can you explain a bit on
Paticca? Can, no problem. You see, the Paticca Samuppada is about the 12 links. 12 links means the Buddha call it Ittapacayata. There's another Pali word for it, Ittapacayata. I don't know whether written here or not. So Ittapacayata and Paticca Samuppada is the same. The Buddha say, this is the law of mind. This is how your mind functions. how it operates. So there are 12 very important links, he said. The first link is, he said, avijja paccaya sankhara. Yeah? Is it there? Is it there? Avijja paccaya sankhara? What is avijja? Dependent on ignorance arises? No. Sankhara. Sankhara is mental activity. Understand? Mental activity. Mental states. Mental emotions. Mental intention. Everything that your mind can do is actually sankhara. Because sankhara is the content of consciousness, including your feeling and your perception. So, sankhara is mainly thinking, then the content of consciousness went in because of your wrong view. So, thinking will condition feeling, emotion, everything. So, the content of consciousness will go in. And your brain, together with the mind, they can create consciousness. It's just like any of your sense door, understand or not? Like your eye, you can arise upon contact of the mind with the sense data, the seeing consciousness. You can become conscious of seeing, where it's an organ. So this thinking is at the brain level, understand? So when you think, you make contact with the brain. So brain is an organ, thought. So thought consciousness arises. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya viññāṇaṁ. That is thought consciousness. And that is the pure consciousness. Pure consciousness means the content hasn't gone in yet. Then later on, it will condition the next link, which is namarūpaṁ. Namarūpaṁ is the five aggregate of form and mind, the mental aspect. That is after the content went in. After the content went in, viññāṇaṁ become namarūpaṁ. And that one is the real paticca-samuppada, not the three period of time one, or three lifetime one. Three lifetime one, they explain it differently. They say, because of ignorance, when you die, there is karmic volition. So sankhara, they call it karmic volition. He said, this karmic volition condition rebirth consciousness. The viññāṇaṁ, they say, rebirth consciousness. And because of that rebirth consciousness, the form am I come to be, the human being come to be, or the living being come to be. But to them, this is the only way to explain. And this way is very logical, understand not? But if it's a dependent origination that happened over three lifetimes, happened once, why did the Buddha want to teach you? It's not useful, correct not? You might as well teach science. Oh. So when I meditate, I realize it's not like that. It's different. So based on the physics experiment, when I use that as an analogy to explain to people, then people understand. The light bulb, the battery, and the switch. When you on the switch, what happens? The light bulb lights up, isn't it? Correct or not? Lighting up means like you become conscious. Understand? So if that light bulb is your sense organ, let's say your eye, then the lighting up is your seeing conscious. You become conscious of what you see. Then if it's your ear, you become conscious of what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel, and what you think. So that is what consciousness is all about. So the third link, avijja paccaya sankhara. Sankhara is mental activity, mental thinking. So you make contact with the brain, that one trigger of mental consciousness. So like the Buddha said, in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see. Means before the content go in, before you start to perceive, starts to have words, concept, starts to have the content of consciousness. So during that time, it's just the pure consciousness. Means the thought consciousness. Then after that, through your memory, through your conditioning, your views, your opinion, you input the content of consciousness. That's how the five aggregate of form and mind went into that pure viññāṇaṁ. And this one, they also call namarūpaṁ. But this namarūpaṁ is the second aspect of the five aggregate. We call it the mental five aggregate of form and mind. The mind has only four aggregate: feeling, perception, sankhara, and consciousness. Then the fifth consciousness, the fifth aggregate is what? The external form. And how did the external form enter the mental five aggregate? Through your perception. When you perceive it, you bring the external form into the mind. And this part, nobody teach. So far, I haven't heard anybody teach this. Yeah, not even written in any book. Where people don't understand. So this is the real Paticca-samuppada. So when this one went in, the Buddha said, dependent on form and mind, the second aspect, the five mental aggregate of form and mind, there must be sense basis. Salayatana. Without sense basis, this five mental aggregate form and mind cannot arise. And dependent on sense basis, there must be feeling. Oh, sorry, there must be contact. Without contact also, there is no consciousness. So, when there is this nama rupang, pachiya, what they call salayatana, there's salayatana, pachiya, pasa. Pasa is contact. Then contact condition feeling. Feeling condition craving. Craving condition grasping. Then grasping condition becoming. You become that. Then you take birth. This is how the whole dependent origination arises. When birth arises, the whole mess of suffering arises. And that's how human beings suffer. That's how living beings suffers. And this is the teaching that the Buddha said, the feeling is not real, not you. Consciousness is not real, not you. Yeah, they come and go. They are dependent originating, condition arising. They were not there before that. And they arise because of condition. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. So all this Paticca-samuppada, the twirling, got no reality. It's just mighty nature rolling by, following nature's law. Understand? Citta niyama. It's just dependent originating, dependent origin. Then feeling arise and pass away. You didn't die. How can feeling be you? Consciousness arise and pass away. You didn't die. So how can consciousness be you? Perception is the same. Mental state is the same. Feeling, pleasant, unpleasant, they arise, they pass away, you didn't die. Then who are you? What are you? If they are not you, why did they arise in you? That's why all this is meditation. You need to meditate to realize the truth, to understand who you are, what you are. What are the two aspects of the five aggregate of form and mind? That's the reason why that book that I sent out, the recently printed one, you should read through it. If you cannot understand the five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects, you cannot understand the Buddha's teaching because you cannot put it to test. In the final summary of the First Noble Truth, the Buddha said, in short, he summarized all of suffering as the five aggregates of grasping. The grasping aggregate is dukkha. Upadana khandas is dukkha. So, how can you investigate into this? How can you prove that the Buddha taught the right thing? First, you must know what is this five aggregate of form and mind, isn't it? That's why through my meditation, I realized there were two aspects to it. Then I put it to test. Both aspects, first aspect and second aspect. If I attach and cling and grasp, do I suffer? I realize it really suffer. And your mind really functions in that way. Because when I silent through the awareness, I saw the link. And I knew it's not one dimensional, not single dimensional. It's multi-dimensional and it moves very fast. Then sometimes it can shift from consciousness to consciousness. When you see, you also hear, understand or not? But not simultaneously. Because the mind actually moves at very high speed. So, as you listen to my talk, there is hearing, then there is also through your consciousness, trying to understand. Then there is also what they call the seeing consciousness. Where you see, and you hear my sound, and your brain process the information. But if you have developed the sati, the awareness, you listen to your nature through the awareness, you absorb the understanding differently. That's why everyone is different. Depend on your cultivation. Depend on what stage you are in. Can follow? Yeah? This is not easy. Huh? This will take a lot of time. But you read the book. Do you have the five degree of mind? You go back and read. By now, you will understand it better. That Paticca Samuppada book is very important. Then later on, you should read the book. This five degree of form and mind is the initial book. You should read the 12 link. I give you the 12 link afterwards. Paticca Samuppada. That 12 link was also spoken by me during the early years. That one is very good, very detailed. Mm-hmm. Anybody don't have that 12 link, you can get from me. It's the back there. Okay, we better end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us share merit first. First, we will share merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakantu loka sasana itta wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo emena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Konyen Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we can end.